Chapter 54, Assignment. Keeping in mind the principles of empowerment that team objectives are designed to encourage, we are ready to have the product teams get to work. So let's consider the mechanics of assigning objectives to product teams. Assigning objectives to product teams. To be very clear, and to address head-on another one of the very common misconceptions about team objectives, it is the responsibility of the leaders to decide which problems should be worked on by which product teams. Many companies think that the idea is to let the product teams come up with their own objectives, yet are somehow surprised when the organization complains of lack of direction and little is accomplished. And it's important to point out that this is not the fault of the teams. It's the clear fault of leadership. More explicitly, the whole point of assigning objectives to product teams is to execute on a product strategy. The product strategy is all about deciding which problems to work on. Assigning objectives to product teams is both a top-down and bottom-up process, and it often requires iteration. These assignments are a function of the product strategy and the team topology, also known as the team scoping. In other words, the strategy tells us which problems we need to solve, and the topology will imply which teams are best positioned to tackle each problem. Now, we love it when teams volunteer to pursue an objective, and we try hard to accommodate that desire. But we also are clear with the teams that we can't always accommodate them because we have to ensure that, in aggregate, the organization is covering as much of the overall organizational objectives as possible. So, even though a team may wish to pursue a specific objective, it is up to the leaders to decide this. Hopefully this is understood, but this is not a power thing or a control thing. This is just about the managers doing their job. Someone has to look holistically at all the teams and the full set of objectives. Determining key results. Once a team is asked to pursue an objective, the first thing they need to do is consider what the appropriate key results should be and what they believe they can accomplish. If the team has worked in this area before, they probably already have a reasonable sense. However, if it's the first time they have worked on this problem, then they will likely need some time to learn the space, start collecting some data to establish a baseline, and get a sense of what the possibilities are. In this case, encourage the team to jump in and not get stuck in paralysis by analysis, and acknowledge with them that they will learn much more as they progress, and that their confidence level will, of course, be low in this first quarter because they are still learning what they don't know. The team will also need guidance from leadership on how ambitious or conservative they should be in pursuing solutions. More on this topic in the next chapter, but for now, let's just say that it's important that the leaders provide the team with some guidance on how aggressive they would like the team to be in pursuing solutions. But suppose the team is asked to pursue two objectives, and management considers the results they propose to achieve to be insufficient to achieve the necessary business results over the year. What then? In this case, the leaders might ask the team to instead pursue just a single objective rather than two. Or they might ask another team to collaborate with them on one of the problems. What's most important is that if the leaders want the product team to feel ownership of the results, then the key results must come from the team. Alignment. Once the leaders have worked with the product teams to decide which product teams will pursue which problems, then they need to ensure that the product teams and the broader organization are aligned. For example, let's say we're working to bring to market a significant new offering to meet the needs of a new type of customer. We need to ensure that any necessary platform team's efforts are aligned to do the work necessary to support the experienced product teams. Similarly, we need to ensure the sales and marketing efforts are appropriately aligned. If the sales and marketing teams were pursuing a different market or not preparing for the new market, That would be an example of not being in alignment. Keep the lights on work. It's important for everyone, leaders and product teams alike, to keep in mind that the team objectives are not the only work that a product team is responsible for. It may be the most important work, but there is always what we call keep the lights on work, involving fixing critical problems, responding to customer issues, providing assistance to other teams, technical debt work, and more. Over time, teams get a better understanding of what this ongoing cost is. In some cases, this ongoing work can reach the point that it consumes the team, in which case the leaders will need to potentially grow the team, or else not expect anything beyond this overhead work, or they can look into ways of reducing this overhead burden. In the next chapter, we'll discuss one of the most important dimensions to a team objective, which is how ambitious the team should be in pursuing solutions. Sidebar: longer-term objectives. It's important to realize and acknowledge that if you have a strong product strategy based on focus and insights, and the product teams are working on important customer and business problems where the work is hard but would cause meaningful impact, then in many cases, the objectives will span multiple quarters. Yet, this often causes confusion. First, it's important to distinguish long-term objectives from long-term key results. Having an objective that lasts for multiple quarters is not the least bit unusual or problematic. Good examples might be replatforming work, which is usually on the order of 1 to 3 years of work, or major product challenges such as reducing customer churn or establishing product market fit. Where things get harder is with the key results. Now, it would be easy to just list some activities as our key results. An example of an activity would be to say, we'll be code complete by the end of the quarter. But that's not what we want because that is output, not outcomes. The point is to show results. The normal and preferred way we handle this is to break up the work into intermediate product results. Here's an example. Let's say the goal is to get 6 referenceable customers on the path to product market fit. That's a very powerful business result, and it's one of the best leading indicators of future sales. The problem is that it may take 2 or 3 quarters of time to get the product deployed and in use by the customers and get them to the point where they're referenceable. So how do we know in just the first quarter that we're making meaningful progress? One possibility is that we might have the goal of just getting to 2 references this quarter. If even that is not achievable, we can find a leading indicator for this. For example, a good key result would be getting 8 prospective customers to sign a non-binding letter of intent to buy. That's clearly not as good as having actually bought the product, but it's a strong leading indicator and it has real business meaning.